Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennis. Boy, folks, sometimes you just got to sit there and admit when you're wrong. You're right. I said it. Sometimes you got to sit there and say, you were wrong. What am I talking about? Well, I had a chance to sit and screen a brand new documentary. It's called A Tear in the Sky. I'm going to bring in our guest in a second, but I want to set this up for you. Now, I've sat here for years, and I've told you guys that I thought that 95% of UAP or UFO activity I thought was man-made, came from other countries, could be technology from us. Now, and we'll get into this with our guest here in a moment, and I'm anxious to do this. This documentary is so well-made, it's so well-put together, and the premise is so good that it tore down every single one of my apprehensions. And that's hard for me to admit. It is hard for me to admit because, you know, sometimes, and I've been in this game now, at least in the media for 16 years. I've been a fan of this all my life. As a child, I sat down and I watched In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy. I would stay up nights listening to Art Bell. I've been on the believer side of this, and I've been on the skeptic side of this. And a good skeptic will sit down and tell you that you will be able to change your mind at times. You can change your mind at times. A cynic will sit down, bury their feet in the sand, and say, you can't move me. But a skeptic can be shown that, hey, you know what? Maybe you've got evidence that can tell me otherwise. Maybe I can see another side of the coin. With that, let's bring in our guest. Caroline Corey is an award-winning filmmaker. See, she's got me all twisted already. International speaker and author. As a child and throughout her life, Caroline has been deeply connected to spiritual topics, the study of consciousness, mechanics of the universe, and the discovery of the divine. And by gosh, she's changing skeptics' minds worldwide with this film, A Tear in the Sky. And we have a link to that film in the description of this program. We're going to talk about it here in this hour. And I'm telling you, folks, it changed my mind. Caroline, I'll admit to you, I was wrong. You've changed my mind. Thank you very much for coming into Darkness Radio.
Hey, Tim. Thanks so much for having me. That's a lot for you to say that I changed your mind. That's like huge.
I don't admit very often when I'm wrong, but I'm wrong. And let's start first of all with the concept of this film and how it is that you got me to admit I was wrong. It's fascinating. And the concept is, well, you know what? Let's have you tell the concept of this film. And I'm telling you, you covered all the bases in this film in order to get a skeptic to flip maybe into a little bit of a believer. Tell me, what is the concept of this film and why should people look at this if they think that maybe UAPs aren't just man-made?
Well, especially right now, Tim, you know, the congressional hearing on UFOs that happened yesterday. Yep. Hello, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Meaning even the government's taking this very, very seriously. For those who have been watching the whole UFO world kind of unfold since 2017 with the Navy, Tic Tac, those UFOs anomalies that showed up on the internet. So I thought the timing of my film is perfect because it's almost like it's okay to be talking about this subject. But when I look around as a filmmaker, I want to see what else is out there, what's being talked about. So I don't just kind of do the same thing. You know, I like this creative. And also, I personally like to focus on solutions, not so much what the problem is. And I realized that I like to make the paranormal, what people call paranormal, normal.
Yes.
So how do you do that? You know, so you bring science, you bring measurability, you know, you bring evidence, like real evidence, not just talking about it, but showing it, you know. So that was the premise of the movie. I said, I am going to go out and do a scientific investigation. We're not going to scientifically analyze data that's already out there, you know, clips here and there, because we don't know where it came from. Is it possible to go out and set up everything scientifically, from the devices to the location to the whole logistic, and see if we could capture these UFOs in real time across multiple devices, because that's how you do science,
right?
Over a period of time from different locations. So, you know, achieving triangulation. And that's the basic premise. So we brought these scientists, these experts, and a huge amount of technology. It was insane. It was, I mean, it people will see that in the film, like cameras to night vision, to FLIR, thermal cameras, spectrum analyzers, radiation detectors, RF detectors. I mean, the whole thing. And we thought, and I'm thinking, oh my God, with all of this, let us capture just one anomaly, like one real thing.
Right.
you know, putting all this effort, and this has never been done before, never anywhere. And so I was determined to, you know, capture something. And sure enough, as you saw in the film, you know, setting it up in this way, in a scientific way, we ended up capturing, I mean, incredible things on camera.
Yeah. And I'll give you credit for a lot of things. And I want to start slowly as we give you credit here. And I don't do this easily either. So you're getting a lot out of me here today, Caroline. there's a man who really has been drugged through the mud. And I don't think people know how much he's been drugged through the mud. His name is Kevin Day. And I've actually had the pleasure, I shouldn't say pleasure because it's not a pleasurable thing, but I've been in secretive meetings, if that's a good way of putting it, where Kevin has told his life story to people. And it is traumatizing what Kevin's been through. I'll give Kevin this, that he held back a lot as far as emotion when telling his story on camera. And again, I encourage people to watch this movie just for what he tells people about what he's been through. If you were to hear half of what he tells about his life story and the trauma that he's been put through, the ridicule he's been put through for unveiling the evidence of the Tic Tac video and the experience with the Tic Tac phenomena. It's heartbreaking, because this is a man who wanted to give his life to our country, wanted to basically serve for the rest of his career. He wanted to be a career military man, correct?
Yes, exactly. And I think people have seen his story, bits and pieces here and there. But in my movie, he really retells the story. In such a profound, touching way.
Yes, he does.
And also what I wanted to do is just that, is weave in the human story with the science, the whole expedition portion that we were doing, to even more feature how we are humans. I mean, Kevin is a military, you know, person that's dedicated his life to the Navy, you know, to this career. And for him, for his career to just be shattered because of this UFO subject, I mean, it's so crazy. So I feel like he represented all those people who had any sort of, who are witnesses of those strange encounters and whose careers, whose lives have been totally destroyed because of the stigma. So that's why it was very important to me to bring back his story in a very authentic way, in a very yes. real way, as you can see him on camera. I haven't seen him filmed, telling his story filmed in that way. No, I could be wrong, but I haven't. And so it's very, very touching. And I really love how the two merge together, you know, the science that we're doing and their personal human story. I think it works well.
Well, and kudos to you, because this really does become, it becomes more than just an evidence story. It becomes a redemption story on both Kevin and Gary Voorhees. Both were aboard the USS Princeton, and they get their redemption. To a point, I can't tell you how, because I want you to see the movie, but they both needed redemption for that series of time where they were seeing these Tic Tacs, and both saw ridicule that day. And it continued. It wasn't just that day. It continued on and on and on and on, to the point where both men suffered in their career, in their lives. And they both needed redemption. And you brought them in, and here they are working with this team. And they know firsthand. They know it when they see it. And that's what's beautiful about this story, is they're there to say to the scientists, hey, this is it. I know it because I was right there. And they, you know, they're there to add that expertise. But then again, they can also hold their heads high again and say, you know what? I know what I saw. And they can point. And I think they can already hold their heads high. And I don't mean to hog the light here, but you know, the fact that the government is already going back and saying, you know what, we don't know, you know, we're opening up the files, we don't know, here's some videos, you know, take a look at them, here's a few files, take a look at them. Sure, we're acknowledging now that these things are out there. I got to think, one, it's maddening for both Kevin and for Gary that they were saying all along, we've seen these things, and the government was like, no, you're crazy, there's nothing out there. And two, now that, you know, they're admitting it, they've got to think, what did I go through all this for?
Exactly. And I wanted to make a movie to not just rehash, you know, mm-hmm. like, hey, there's enough witnesses around the world, but just to prove, you know, that these guys were right, that this is a real thing. And I think we did, because the types of anomalies that we captured, again, people who are just listening, who haven't seen the movie, we didn't just photograph or, you know, just right. kind of record on video, some little orb thing or whatever. We literally had sightings. First of all, some of it I've never seen before. Stuff literally dropping down into the ocean at 20,000 miles an hour.
Yes.
You know, and of course, I don't want to spoil the surprise, but like opening and closing things that are, for example, that appear on mm-hmm. the frame, mm-hmm. tilt, rotate, then just disappear mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. register cold, because we had these thermal cameras. You know, this is military grade equipment that we had. Each camera is like $50,000. We had 8 of those, mm-hmm. you know, just for people to have a sense of the scale of what we did. So object, appearing, disappearing, registering call. We don't have a propulsion system that registers call. If you're flying, you know, it's not, mm-hmm. we don't have there could be some secretive program, you know, some black project going on, but it is, an anomaly. And so, and especially those things coming down, raining down from the sky. And of course, at the end, this opening and closing and reflective object popping out of it. What is that? You know?
Right.
And for people to who are listening to realize that we were working with hardcore scientists. These aren't, you know, the scientists that are also kind of on the fringe of, hey, they're also UFO fans trying to capture something and call it science. No. I mean, these are the guys that are going to see something, and the first thing they say, well, maybe it's a glitch, maybe it's a camera malfunction, maybe it's a bird, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. You know, I mean, they're going to analyze the heck out of like every frame they see before they admit it is an anomaly. But that's exactly what I wanted in this film. We needed this rigorous analysis to prove, to demonstrate, to validate that these are in fact anomalous events.
If I can give people a little bit of an idea or a taste of what the scientists were doing out there, to give people an idea and just a taste of what it is that's going on. So like Caroline had mentioned, they're off the coast of Catalina, or right there off the coast of California. So you've set up a triangulation system. So with Catalina Island being the point of your triangle, and then two points spread out off the coast of California, essentially covering that area where the USS Princeton was when they saw the Tic Tac video. And you've got three points of triangulation. You're covering everything from sonar to video to different spectrums of the of video and light. So you're using sonar, video, audio, infrared cameras. You're using I'm trying to remember the different spectrums of light.
Radiation.
Yes,
too.
You're using radiation. You're using radar, actual radar. You're using FLIR cameras. So you're using temperature cameras, which there's and you kind of mentioned there a little bit about on the first day you catch an anomaly that shows up completely cold, which means there's no propulsion system behind that anomaly. Normally you would see something blaring red hot that would have a propulsion system, but it shows up absolutely cold behind the night sky there, which was fascinating, absolutely fascinating. So that you're working with, and in that one point, again, being a sound guy, I found it, again, really fascinating that one of the scientists, one of the physicists there, had come up with a way to project sound off of a physical object and bring it back and create messaging between an anomaly and back and translate it into words. So if they were saying hello there and it bounced off your object, you could mimic it back. Basically, the beginnings of, say, like Jane Goodall, the way she would communicate with apes. So you would mimic speech back so you could begin the beginnings of speech, which is
exactly
fascinating to me. Yeah.
I mean, not only what we did was a first mm-hmm. in ufology, mm-hmm. literally, we literally made history with that whole setup and the scale, but also on the team, we had an incredible technology expert, inventor, David Mason.
Yes.
And he actually owns most of the equipment. Pretty much what you see in the film is his, which was so lucky, you know, for us to use. And he, some of his inventions, he's invented many technologies, but the things that we feature in the film is this, these devices that have a photodiode. Like you have binoculars or night vision goggles, and you're looking up at the UFO or anything in the sky. It could be a star or a satellite or anything. And as you're looking through the goggles, that photodiode converts the light pattern, meaning what you're seeing, into a sound. So basically you're hearing what you're seeing.
Wow.
And it spontaneously also sends it back to the source, the light source that you're observing. So that I've never seen before.
No.
Especially, and the idea is, so we demonstrate how that works in the movie. So the idea is, if there is a UFO you're looking at it, so you can hear what you're seeing and send it back to them. So that way they know that you are observing it, and all this communication is through light and sound frequencies. So to me, that's like crazy. I mean, and we only, you know, this is a movie, you know, we can't explain all the science and everything else, but just a little bit and enough for people to realize the implication of what we just did, you know, that if we're able to establish, and also this technology gives us information on the UFO itself, because we start to see the light pattern that's being emitted by them. So we start to see those patterns. And if we see enough, if we do that over a period of time, we start to understand. So obviously some of them don't have a propulsion system. So how are they navigating?
Right.
So by, does that make sense? So by analyzing the information, the light that's being emitted by them, we start to understand how they function. So it's huge. It's really incredible, the implications that
Let's talk a little bit, Caroline, about why you think they're functioning this way, or what exactly their purpose may be. Because as we notice them doing what they're doing, it seems like they're harmless enough, but we don't quite understand why they're doing what they're doing. It seems harmless enough. I mean, as you guys are out there observing what you're observing, it seems like it's all rather passive. And keep in mind, over the 5 days that you're out there filming, you're getting contact, but it seems like there's not much interactive contact. Is that fair to say, or is there cutting room stuff that we haven't seen?
There's a little bit of that too.
Yeah.
But you know, this film was not a focus. I mean, this is kind of an introduction. I'm just going to say it, you know, we have more coming up.
Okay.
But you know, because this is the first time ever that we do something like this. So we kind of want to put it out there as the basis of future things. So in this particular film, you know, we don't go into that piece of the communication, because there is so much that we brought in already in this first one. I mean, the types of anomalies, because you said, so why do they fly this way? Or I think it's not just one thing. First of all, I think it's some of it is human-made technology. Some of it is not human-made technology. And some of it are anomalies that we just don't understand. And I know it's extraterrestrial because the way they warp space, the way they bend light, the way they morph from one shape to another shape, from light to matter and back. I mean, that sort of, if you want to call it technology, you know, that sort of phenomenon is just simply not human. And so it's a range of things that we captured you know, through our devices, especially that last thing, that opening and closing.
Yes.
I mean, the scientists just are baffled. And since the movie's been out, I haven't had, because I speak to other scientists. In fact, some of them have contacted me.
Okay.
They said, we've seen the film and nobody has an explanation to what this phenomenon is. You know, again, without spoiling the surprise, but basically because it's in the trailer. So it's literally, it's a tear. It's an opening and closing, and then with actual reflective objects coming out of it. So that's interesting. You know, I haven't had anybody say, and I'm talking scientists, you know, Harvard, Stanford, you know, NASA people. I literally had a person contact me yesterday. I mean, the credentials are ridiculous. They're like 2-page long, you know, every single organization you can think of, you know, they've been on the board or have contributed. I don't know how many papers, science papers. This is the caliber of scientists we're talking about. I haven't had one so far tell me, oh, this is some weather weird thing that we know that happened. Nothing. So what we've done in the film is really present validation, like real measurable things have never been presented before anywhere. And so we're opening the doorway where I think this is the beginning of a huge, huge, important conversation. And so I think after that, you know, we'll tackle even more in detail. Okay, how does this technology work? And also definitely the communication, because there's definite communication.
Well, what I loved about the film is again, when, and we're talking to, there's a couple different points I can tackle here. You're talking about scientists breaking it down and saying, well, it can't be, you know, it can't be this weather anomaly. It can't be this. It definitely can't be our own technology. You do such a brilliant job of getting an expert there in front of the camera saying, well, here is our technology and here is the technology that can be mistaken for a UFO or UAP. Here are the models that people mistake for UAP, and here's what they do, and here's why it's mistaken for UAP, which I went, great, thank you. Because, you know, there are people that point up to the sky all the time and go, oh, that's got to be UAP, and this is why. No, that's not.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I'm glad that was in the movie. And the reason being is that there are so many people who I don't want to say are undereducated, but miseducated as to what it is they're looking at in the sky. A lot of people will point and say, well, that's moving an odd way. That's got to be. But they don't check apps to see what's in the night sky. They don't check to see what satellites are flying over. They don't check to see what exactly it is they're looking at. They just assume because something moves a funny way, well, that's got to be UAP. So I applaud you because there it is. And again, I can't stress to people enough about a tear in the sky that every single corner is covered in this, that every single excuse you may have as to why it or what it is you're seeing up there is not what it is. It's not an orb. It's not a reflection. It's not a satellite. It's not something errant in the night sky. It's not your equipment. You did mention earlier in the show that you had an anomaly in itself, and I believe it was the first night, where you caught an anomaly on one camera, but it didn't cover on another camera. And I sat and I thought about this. It had to have been for a few hours. And I thought, you know, when in paranormal investigating, we have that happen on ghost hunts. But in this case, if you're looking for a scientific excuse, it could be just a matter of spectrum. You know, some cameras pick up things on one spectrum of light, but they don't on another. And it could be just the sensitivity from the manufacturer. You know, and if they're the same camera from the same manufacturer, same model, same everything, well, technically they should pick up the same image. But if you're using, a camera from one manufacturer, different model, from another camera manufacturer, different model, it could be just the sensitivity of one camera from another not picking up that spectrum of light and not seeing that image. I mean, it could be simple, something as simple as that. Although if you really want to get into the weeds with it, it could be that from one position to another, maybe that anomaly is cloaking itself from one position, but is making itself available from another. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. But I kind of want to answer your comment a little bit
sure.
earlier.
Yeah.
When you
yeah.
said, yeah, we kind of went out of our way to also talk about all the anomalies that we think are anomalies, but in fact, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
They're just reflection or an optical illusion or something like that. Because, you know, as a documentary filmmaker, like I personally want to bring the truth. I don't want to be biased one way or another. Otherwise, that's not a documentary. I mean, I am biased in the sense that I personally had direct experiences, so I can talk about those subjective experiences. But as a presentation of the topic, it's totally everything that I can think of where you know, about the subject to bring that truth. And so it's very true. A lot of the times we see things zigzagging in the sky and, you know, we don't know that we do have drone technology that could do that, that could fly for hours and hours because we think, oh, the typical drone, you know, is shuts off after an hour or whatever that is, you know, but there are things that are totally unknown and the things that seem to float above the water, but actually they're not, you know, this is just an optical illusion. So yeah, so thanks for mentioning this because we really wanted to show that we're not trying to say it's this or that from a subjective point of view. So I appreciate you mentioning that. But then to go back to the two cameras. So what happened was all the systems, you know, I'm going to let the guys who worked sure. on each one
yep.
talk about it, but they spent so much time calibrating everything,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
so that was the point of to achieving correlations across multiple devices. And so I believe that these two cameras were calibrated to do the same thing side by side on purpose.
Okay.
And they were close to each other. So it wasn't a different angle. So what do you make of that? You know, is the object cloaking itself or something like that? I mean, that's the idea. We you know, it's like, this is an anomaly. But that object was detected on other cameras at yep. the same time. So that's why it was just an added like, okay, well, what do you make of that? You know, mm-hmm. just to add to the idea that this was definitely anomalous event. So, and also we had all kinds of weird stuff happen, you know, like where, I mean, you know, we've heard about, especially with, as you know, with ghost hunting and things like that,
mm-hmm.
Equipment shuts off, power turns off, you know, as you come in contact with electromagnetic devices and things like that. And so we had some of these incidents, but it sort of made sense. It was when we were plugging in equipment and, of course, don't forget, we had a lot of equipment, but we also had, so we had generators and everything else, but we also had the camera crew, which this was a big production. I mean, if you notice, because we had to cover a large amount of space and many cast members and what was happening like in the skies and everything else. So it was a lot. And every now and then we would have power outages, but they had an explanation but sometimes we would have these things happen where nobody was touching anything. Nobody, you know, in the middle of the night, when one, you know, like one breaker was shut off, like out of nowhere and not the, you know, I mean, like strange things like that would happen as well. So is that along the same lines where those two cameras side by side calibrated in the same way? But, you know, it's are we being interfered with?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure there's some of that, but we don't really go there in the film. We just kind of let the audience decide whatever that is.
Even though you don't really go there and you let the audience decide, what's your personal feeling? Do you think that you were interfered with in some way by these beings?
Yeah, at one point, I think we were, and also even from a kind of a, like a 3D way,
yeah.
We had the police would show up every day and try to shut us down and, you know, and things like that. The neighbor was freaking out. We weren't, you know, we were, because we had this crazy amount of equipment on the rooftop, right? And mm-hmm. then so the other houses that were nearby, they could see us. We weren't, you know, we didn't have searchlights or anything. I mean, we weren't, we right. had just basic lighting, you know, for filming, like on someone's face. It was nothing.
Yeah.
So they were like, what are you doing? What is this operation? You know, so they would call the cops and they would come and say, you know, you're making, no, we weren't making any noise. In fact, we were, you know. So anyway, it was kind of strange. That felt a little bit like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You start to feel the energy, like, you know, don't do what you're, you know. And but sure enough, every time we would turn people around, there was one cop after another. And at the end, when we just told them what we were doing and we're like, just come and see and check it out. And they were like, oh, this is so cool. You know, they would kind of turn around. So I know there was a little bit of that, but I also know, and I don't know how much people, you know, believe in that or whatever, but I do. I kind of felt like from before that there was a certain guidance, you know, like there was certain, because I kind of felt like I need to go out and make this film. And I funded the project. So it was a huge undertaking, a huge risk. Because this team had never done it before. Mm-hmm. No one's ever done it before, even from a production point of view. And five days, like, I mean, how many times you go to investigate something and nothing happens?
Yeah.
And so I was like terrified. I was like, what if nothing happens? So I was, you know, doing my own connection, communicate, whatever, you know, the way I know how to do that. And whether people believe in it or not, I do. I have my own thing. And then I was like, please give me something like one anomalous thing. I'll be happy. I mean, to make the film. And I knew that it was going to be July 14th.
Huh.
And so I felt like there was some sort of bigger, you know, assistance also, even though we had those little mishaps right and left. And sure enough, it was the first sighting was July 14th. And then after that, it was more and more and more. And then we ended up with way beyond my expectations.
Okay, so we're going to take our break there, because you said one thing earlier that intrigued me. And I have a feeling there's a connection to what you just said with what you said earlier. I'm just going to tease it with that. So Caroline evidently has had experiences before. She put it out there to the universe that she wanted a connection on July 14th. We're going to connect those two things when we come back from the break and find out maybe there's a little bit more to this than we're seeing just on film. How has Caroline Corey had our guest here on the program, the financier and the filmmaker here of A Terror in the Sky? How has she had experiences with these beings before, and how did she connect with them to make this film? We'll put it that way. We'll find that out when we come back next here on the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome back to the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennis. My guest is Caroline Corey. She's the filmmaker behind A Terror in the Sky. I highly encourage you to click on the link in the description of this program. You can get the movie at aterrorinthesky.com and check it out for yourself. By gosh, I'm telling you, I was a skeptic before this film, and now I'm starting to believe. I'm telling you, it's hard to do this with me. It's hard to move me off these positions. But I've watched this film now twice, and there is a lot of scientific evidence that suggests that, by gosh, we're not alone in this universe. And I'm not talking bacteria falling from space and falling into the atmosphere, but some actual intelligent beings out there. And there's a big surprise at the end of this movie that I'll have your jaw dropping, that's for sure. I couldn't believe what I saw at the end of this movie. Folks, before we left to go to break, we were talking about Caroline's experiences with other beings. So I'm just going to put you on the hot plate here, Caroline, and say you mentioned you had experiences previously. Do you care to share what kind of experiences you had in the past?
Yeah, I mean, since I was a kid, when I was 5, actually, I had an experience, would kind of sense the presence of beings, and I would communicate with them. I would see angels and things like that. And It was very friendly. It wasn't at all scary, like people think it's ghosts or something like that. No. It was very, I've always had that connection and that opening and ability to just communicate in that way. And so, but it took me a long time. Like, I wanted to make sure, first of all, that I wasn't crazy.
Mm-hmm. That's
I wasn't making stuff up. I wasn't, so I went into the field of consciousness to try to figure out, okay, is your mind entangled with other minds? Like, how does that work, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I studied the subject and researched it for like 20 years. So, in college, I studied psychology, again, to make sure that I didn't have some mental imbalance somewhere, but it's true. I mean, it was fascinating because I would see things that would happen the next day. Mm-hmm. I would hear things, I would connect with someone and I knew exactly about things that happened to them, even though they didn't tell me. I would remote view something and it turned out to be true. So how does that work? So when you have like validation that you didn't make it up, because here's the validation, here's the proof, then you start to think, okay, well, there's a mechanism. I don't know what the mechanism is. Nobody's talking about the mechanism, but there's something that's making it possible. So then working with so many people, hundreds of people, I started talking about it, lecturing, teaching, and other people would do the same, would have this same sort of validation. I trained many people. And so because of that, I became very confident that, wait, there is something. In the case of UFOs, I can tell you a quick story.
Sure.
And this is pretty recent, actually. So I was just kind of, I felt like, hey, it was 9 p.m. And then I just felt like, go outside. So I just went outside. And all of a sudden, I see these three lights bouncing off of each other right above my house. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay. So the first thing I thought, because it was Labor Day, I thought, maybe it's a searchlight or so. Like, I didn't really. I'm a skeptic too, by the way.
Good.
But not skeptic like I don't believe.
Right, right.
But skeptic in the sense that, let me make sure that I'm not making this, in that sense. I want to discern the truth.
Right.
So. Anyway, I'm seeing these things and I'm thinking, Okay, whatever. And then I felt, well, let me just check it out. So I basically kind of start to communicate. I said, okay, well, if there's somebody there, mm-hmm. you know, if, you know, then you would tell me that you can hear me or something, show mm-hmm. me something. So all of a sudden the three lights were bouncing off each other. They become four, then they become six, and then they become eight. So I was like, okay, well, that's a cute trick. Let's see what else. So then I start walking in, you know, one direction outside my house, like for half a mile. And I said, if you can hear me, then follow me. And they're literally like hovering, you know, it was like so comical. They're literally hovering right above me, following me half a mile. And then I change direction. I go half a mile in a different direction. And they're literally hovering above me. So that was crazy. I mean, what more of a visual evidence in real time?
Yeah.
And then, so then I bump into a neighbor, right? And mm-hmm. I'm like, do you see these lights right above her? And she's like, oh yeah, yeah, you know? And then she's like walking her dog and something like it's nice or something like really totally like lame comment. And she goes about her business like with her dog. And I'm like, hello, do you realize what we're looking at here? Anyway, just to tell you how people's focus is, you know, like it didn't really register in her mind that there was this totally crazy thing happening right above her head. But anyway, all this to say that I did have those experiences myself, whether people want to believe it or not, it's up to them, but I know what's true to me. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, and because of my work, because of, I do also sort of a regression therapy with so many people. So I'm not the only one. So I believe in that and I know how to do it. And I know, and that's the reason why in my hotel room, that wasn't the focus of this type of thing in the film, because we want to keep it very scientific.
Yes. Yep.
So I was like on my own in my hotel room, like, okay, you guys do something. Oh, and sure enough, something came through big time.
Well, there is, and we did it on the Jericho cruise. There is such a thing as an intention experiment. And we did an intention experiment in front of 65 people. And we got three, for lack of a better term, I mean, there were three lights that showed up that danced along with each other and kind of interacted with us as a group. And it was hard to explain. I don't know what happened. I can't tell you what happened there, Caroline, but something happened.
So there's intent to be careful, because not all anomalies are the same. Like some things are material and there are technology. Some of it is even human technology. But some of these, like what you're describing, what I just described, there is an intelligence behind them. There, yeah. You know, because otherwise you wouldn't have that sort of communication.
Right. And so, like I said, I mean, and being a skeptic is not being a cynic. A cynic is digging your feet into the sand and saying, I'm not moving, I'm not budging. Being a skeptic is just having a healthy attitude of saying, well, I'm seeing something, but I'm questioning. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's okay to question. So I don't blame you. If you're putting your dough on the line, you know, you want to make sure that you're putting it on the line for the right reason. So I don't blame you for putting the intention out there at all. I do the same thing. I wouldn't want to get caught at the end there and come up with nothing. That's for sure. Kind of switching gears a little bit here. You do have a gentleman in the film who started out play acting, I guess, a little bit among the stars. And he's a pleasant surprise in the film. And yet at the end, he ended up looking up into the stars and wishing that he could be there and actually be meeting some of these species. And that's William Shatner, who was a Captain Kirk in Star Trek. Tell me a little bit about meeting this man and sitting down and talking with him and showing him some of this evidence that you found. What was it like to sit down with him and share some of this stuff with him?
Amazing. He is so fun. He's, you know, obviously we invited him as a guest in the film, special guest. So he wasn't acting. So he was being himself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he's authentically into the mysteries of the universe. He actually, in terms of science, he's not so much focused on science. He's more because he thinks that there's so much we still don't know. Mm-hmm. But he's fascinated with everything that's so mysterious that's out there. Who else is out there? How is it possible that these anomalous things could happen? Not just UFO, but all sorts of anomalous events, what we call paranormal. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, he was authentically kind of surprised and blown away. And if you notice, his insight is always about more the bigger picture of the mysteries. And for those who are, you know, in ufology and don't see the connection, why is he in the film? And so to me, like what I tried to do, obviously, other than bring the science, which is really a first ever in ufology, but I'm also, because of the timing of everything that's happening in the mainstream, you know, the congressional hearing and the reports coming out from the Pentagon and all of that, I am trying to also bridge the gap to mm-hmm. bring ufology to the mainstream. And so we have to be having these conversations, you know, with our family members who think we're crazy, with, you know what I mean? With just the neighbor who's not going to roll his eyes every time he sees you because he doesn't believe. So that's what I was hoping to do by bringing him on, you know, to have that. He's a legend. I mean, you know, in the sci-fi world. And so that was the idea of presenting this strong scientific information on UFOs and have him translate that into a mainstream conversation. And it worked because a lot of people are now attracted to the movie because of that, because of him and his presence. And they're starting to understand the UFO phenomenon from this new objective scientific light. And so, which is, you know, huge. So that's why I'm hoping people will see the reason for his, from the UFO fans' perspective. Oh, they will see that that's what we're trying to do. We need to be mainstream. We need to be the normal conversation without feeling ridiculed or whatever. And especially with this timing right now.
Right. And you're absolutely right. He is a great anchor to the mainstream and to bring it into people's homes. And not only that, but just the common sense approach from a scientific point of view to bring everything into the mainstream and say, hey, listen, we're coming at this from a common sense approach, and we're just showing you that, hey, you know, forgive me for using this term. It's a James Randi term, but we're not coming from a sense of woo woo here. We're coming from a sense of, you know, really, we're using instruments. We're using your eyes. We're telling you, you know, you're seeing it for yourself. This is, you know, this is where it's coming from. If you don't mind me revealing this part, there is another special guest that comes in. Can I tell people about this?
Yes, please feel
okay.
free.
And that's Travis Taylor, who's in the Hunt for Skinwalker program, who he himself deals with some anomalies there on the Skinwalker Ranch. What I find refreshing is that you guys are doing such cutting edge work that I think Travis himself is a little taken aback. I think he kind of, he himself has questions as he sees the equipment and is, quite impressed, I think is just an easy way of putting it. And I think, tell me how Travis adds kind of to the soup here of what it is that you're putting together, the stew that you're putting together. How did he contribute to the scientists that were there on set?
So I know Travis from Ancient Aliens because we're both in the show and other programs as well. And we did a lot of conferences together. So we would be in a green room, you know, hanging out and talking. And I remember several years ago when I first met Travis, he was a hardcore scientist. He was like, no, 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 nuts and bolts, you know, don't talk to me about mind and, you know, and consciousness or anything like that. And as he kept working on Skinwalker Ranch and having experiences himself, he became so much more open and more like understanding the phenomenon in a much broader perspective and, you know, not just this hardcore science. So I kind of saw him go, now we have these incredible conversations because he is a great scientist, but at the same time, he's so open to the possibilities. And so we had that scene where, and because he's on Skinwalker Ranch, they're also trying to kind of measure certain anomalous things. I thought he would totally relate to what we were doing.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah. And also we had this scene where we wanted to give the audience at least a taste of the type of equipment that we are using. So, I mean, how do you do that as a filmmaker? You know, you instead of just kind of like saying we have this, we have that, I thought, why don't I bring a guest scientist who can comment on the type of equipment because he will know exactly what these devices can do in this case. And so, of course, I thought about him. He was like a perfect choice for that scene. And as he was, like you were saying, as he was discovering one device after another. And of course, we don't show everything. I mean, it's a movie, you know.
Right.
But even
right.
the stuff that he covered that we show in a film in his scene, he was, yeah, he was really very surprised and blown away. It's like, wow, I've never seen anything like this.
Well, I could almost, as he's walking through and he's looking at everything there that that your inventor has put together, David Mason, I can almost see the wheels turning like, you know, we could have used a lot of this at Skinwalker, you know? I mean, you just, you know, you kind of get the idea that, man, you guys are light years ahead of what they're using over there. And I think the jealousy was kind of upped a little bit there as well. I kind of got the idea that he was really digging what you guys were doing, and that you guys were kind of a step or two ahead of what they were doing over there.
We actually are in a lot of ways, but yeah, because we were singularly focused on UAPs, whereas they are kind of focused on everything. And in fact, you know, the idea was they invited us also to go to Skinwalker. In fact, you'll see a couple of those guys in a couple of episodes and, you know, at Skinwalker, because they, you know, we were trying to get some of that technology used there too.
didn't David Mason already show up on season 3?
No, not David Mason. It was Kevin. It was Gary.
Gary's been on. I knew that. Yep.
Venture. Yeah.
Yep. I saw Venture. Gary. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. But it was just a teeny bit. I mean, it's what we did. The setup is mind blowing.
Yeah. It's good stuff. That's for sure. Speaking of, if you don't mind me indulging real quick here, Carolyn, the UFO Disclosure Symposium, May 27th through the 29th, Vernal, Utah, Travis Taylor will be there as well, along with other guests. So if you want to check out Travis Taylor, May 27th through the 29th, he'll be there and he'll be speaking there as well. And there's supposedly 4 videos that have never been seen before, that top secret videos that will be discussed at that symposium as well. So there's a decent tie in there as well. I guess in closing here, Caroline, I have to ask you, and I want to tie this into a point and see what your thoughts are. And that's this. You've done a wonderful job in this film of bringing this to a level where you've now presented more than I think you're going to, you may think I'm schmoozing you here a little bit. You've brought this now to a point where you've brought Gary and Kevin in, U.S. service people who now have been at that level that the government's going, well, we don't know. Here, you figure it out. You guys are starting to figure out more than the U.S. government has. I'm wondering now if you will bring this, not necessarily full circle, but will you take this film now and maybe approach Congress with it, being that they seem to be so open. I'm using air quotes here, as you can see, open. Is there a chance that maybe you'll approach a congressperson who's opening these hearings and say, take a look at my film and see what's happening here, and actually sit and listen to Kevin and Gary again, rather than dismiss them for another time? And let's get some real answers, because I have some scientists here that seem to be getting real answers and pore over the data rather than just put this back on NASA. Is there a chance that you'll take this evidence now and try to advance this cause with Congress?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of congressmen are already familiar and with the film, but it was pretty interesting. I mean, kind of sad a little bit yesterday with the congressional hearing when they were showing clips of things they had or something. Mm-hmm. And they're saying this is the type of thing we usually get. It's hard to tell. We can't see. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, in my movie, it's like we have such clear, like so much clear, like so much more in this hour and a half. And these are the clips that they said that they have. And so I'm kind of disappointed and shocked, because think about this. If in 5 days, I mean, we did have the normal equipment, but we also had military grade, you know, equipment. So it was a range, but we're civilians. You know, if we went out and we did this in 5 days, mm-hmm. and we collected not just what you see in the film, which is pretty extraordinary already, but additional, we still have hundreds of hours of data, optical data and all sorts of stuff to go through. The scientists right now are going through it, you know, frame by frame. It takes a long time. They're even going to write a science paper. They're going to do certain different presentations to talk more about the what they're finding. So what I'm saying is, all this data we collected in 5 days as civilians, I can't imagine that the government doesn't have the, you know, similar, even bigger, better data. Right. Knowing that they have the radars and the satellites, I mean, pointing at the sky 24/7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's mind-blowing. So would I go directly and approach them? I don't know. I mean, that wasn't a priority, but the thought definitely crossed my mind when I saw the things they were showing, the clips that they said they are getting, and compared with my movie. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe somebody will approach us and we'll go from there.
Is it something, in your opinion, is it something that maybe Kevin and Gary have had enough ridicule where they wouldn't pick up the flag again and try to run it past Congress? Is it something where, you know, they don't want to go through another round of scrutiny? Or do you think maybe they would take up this cause, that now they have this film and maybe they would do it again?
Actually, I think Kevin, because I saw he actually is very much ready to go back out there and talk to them. In fact, he said, I'd love to be a witness at one of these hearings. I'll do it right now. Yeah, because he's at a different place right now, especially with this film. Like you were saying, it was like a retribution, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's much more confident, and I think he's ready to take it on. I'm not sure about Gary, but I saw Kevin Day's comment on that. So yeah, I don't know. We can talk to them and see, or see if a congressman's going to stumble on the movie. I don't know. Well, we'll see. But officially, I haven't approached anybody quite yet.
I think they should do more than stumble upon it, Caroline. I think really they should take a hard look at it, because it's, I'll tell you, if an old skeptic like me takes a look, two looks at it and enjoyed it and has changed his mind, I think that some congressmen and congresswomen can take a look at it and decide for themselves that there's something here and that there can be some action on it. I really do think that some change can be done here with what you've done.
I think so too. Well, let's see what happens. The movie just came out, you know, a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So right now we're trying to kind of put it out there as much as possible for everybody to see. You know, everybody needs to see this movie, whether you're into UFOs or not, because the implications of what we discovered, I mean, is just go beyond the, you know, the UFO phenomenon. We're saying, wait a minute. We are witnessing, we're capturing phenomena that have to do with the fabric of space time, you know, like, yeah. You know, it's not just some advanced civilization with advanced technology. It's literally a phenomenon that we don't know. It's unclassified. So that's why, just for that fact, you know, people should just be watching it and open their mind to how our reality actually is, how it's made, and, you know, who else is out there, and how we fit within the larger picture of the universe, you know?
I think you put it brilliantly. It not only will change the way you think about the universe, but the way these things appear. I think you can't think of how these things appear in a three-dimensional sense anymore. You can't think of space travel in a three-dimensional sense anymore. It's impossible.
Yes. So, and, yeah. And then you realize the propulsion system we're working on, I just like, don't even make sense to me.
No,
it's like, it's so primitive. And that's what I'm saying. Like, the implications of what is in the film, it just covers so many different areas. Engineering, you know, the way we are going about space travel, about reality, about consciousness, about everything.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm very excited about this film, you know, way, way beyond just the ufology world.
Absolutely. Caroline Corey is the filmmaker. The film is A Tear in the Sky. You can get the movie at atearinthesky.com. Folks, I encourage you, go watch this movie. Watch it a couple of times. You'll miss a lot in the first viewing of it. You're going to want to watch it a second time, because there are things in there, there are little Easter eggs in there that you'll pick up that are going to blow your mind. You're going to, even as a skeptic, it's going to change your mind. And it changed mine. I can't tell you how much they cover in the movie, and how much they will just kind of set you on your ear and tell you that things are not what they seem. So, Caroline, thank you very much for joining us here on Darkness Radio.
Thanks so much for having me, Tim.
Thank you. A lot. Thank you. Folks, I want to thank you very much for joining us again here for another great week of Darkness Radio. I want to thank our guests this week as well. For joining us, David S. Larson on True Crime Tuesday, Caroline here on Darkness Radio, and Beer City Bruiser for joining us on Supernatural News. Take care of yourself and each other. Have a great weekend. Enjoy each other. And again, I want to remind you about the UFO Disclosure Symposium. Time's running short, May 27th through the 29th, Vernal, Utah. If you can't go to Utah and enjoy either the VIP package or the general admission package, you can view everything from home. They're streaming worldwide. It's at an affordable cost too. We've got a link in the description of the program to get to that symposium or view it from home. I realize it's Memorial Day weekend, and it's going to be a busy weekend at that, but you have time to view those top secret four videos that are going to be viewed at that symposium. Lots of guests there that will weigh in on it. Dr. Michael Boyd, Dr. Travis Taylor, Ellie Marzulli, our good friend Micah Hanks, and many, many more. Check it out in that link in the description of the program. It costs nothing to look at that link. And go to that link and look at what's available there in Vernal, Utah. Have a great weekend, folks. We'll see you next week here on the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, Baconate with a breakfast Baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.